Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
This morning, I want to talk about two things only. Two things. What the Word of God looks like. Number one, what the Word of God looks like. And number two, how you can have beautiful feet. Okay? What the Word of God looks like and how you can have beautiful feet. We begin in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is getting ready to tell a parable, but there are so many people and they're all standing. So now when you sit in your comfortable pew in Midland, remember that when Jesus taught, a lot of times they stood for the whole sermon. Whew. Thank you, Lord, we can sit, right? That's right. God is good. They're standing and they're pressing closer and closer to the lake. And in order to avoid trouble, Jesus gets into a boat and they cast him out a little ways. And he's going to have his message. It's the parable of the sower. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Verse 3 of chapter 13 of Matthew. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, he didn't have a drill or planting machine like we would use today, right? So all he can do is broadcast by hand. So some of the seed falls by the wayside. And other of the seed falls on stony ground. The birds come and take the seeds by the wayside. The stony ground grows up really quick, but dies away. Some are between the thorns, and the thorns grow up and choke it. It's not a good story so far. But, there's that word, but. But, some falls on good ground, and it brings forth fruit, and it brings forth lots of fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now this parable comes in Matthew 13, also in Mark 4, and in Luke 8. So that tells us it's important, because many of the Gospels have it in there. It's important. When Jesus finishes the parable, he says these words, "He who hath an ear, let him hear." So you'll have to decide today whether you have an ear and you're going to hear or not. And only you will know. The Great Commission comes to us in Matthew 28, verse 19, and says, "Go make disciples." Now, the first phase of discipleship is what? Seed planting, right? It's sowing. So let's look at what Jesus said the meaning of this parable was. The sower that sows the seed is God, right? He may be using you, he may be using me. The seed that falls by the wayside, it says, these are those that don't understand. Have you ever heard a sermon you didn't understand? Have you ever read a book you didn't understand? Have you ever studied a Bible study and you just didn't understand? So that, it says, the devil comes and he steals that seed away. That's why we keep planting. The stony ground. Boy, those plants grow up very quickly because everything's ripe. It's nice and warm. And so it grows up fast, but the roots can't go down very far because stones, right? And so when persecution comes or trials come, then we get discouraged and we disappear. And those seeds are taken away. And then there's the thorns. Now in America, we probably have more thorns than anything else, right? It's those cares of this world. The cares of this world come up around us. You know, you got to make a living, don't you? And there's other requirements that you really have to have. And the cares of this world choke out the seed. But, there's that word, but. The seed that falls in the good ground, it's a promise. He promises here that it's going to grow and it's going to have fruit. 100-fold, sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 30-fold, but always there's going to be a harvest. And Jesus says, the seed that's planted is the Word of God. So what were the two things we're going to look at? We're going to look at this morning what the Word of God looks like and how you can have beautiful feet. What does the Word of God look like? Jimmy went to the doctor's office with his mother. He was not feeling well. And while he waited for the doctor, he found a Bible storybook. And he reached in, and after he had read a little bit, he got one of those cards out. And he gave it to his mother. Now that's the right thing for Jimmy to do, isn't it? He gives it to his mother. And his mother did what with it? She threw it away. So the next time Jimmy came to the doctor's office, he got the same book out and he kept reading. And he reached in and got another card. And he gave it to his mother. And she took it home. What'd she do with it? She threw it away. The third time Jimmy had to go to the doctor's office, when he got the card, he handed it to his mother like this. You know how you do? He's holding on a little bit, and he looks her in the eye, and he says, "What are you going to do with this?" And she said, "Oh, well, we'll give it to your dad." She's safe, right? He's well-trained. What does dad do? Well, dad got out his pen, and he filled it in. And at the bottom he wrote, "No salesman." No salesman. When the literature evangelist Don showed up at Jimmy's house, it was with a little bit of trepidation. People think we're salesmen. They're wrong. We are soulsmen. We are soulsmen. And we are looking for souls. And as he made his presentation, he showed them the whole series of the Bible stories. Does everybody have these in their home? So how old do you have to be to enjoy them? David, is the little one enjoying these yet? Well, my Bible friend, that'll work. But if you start reading to them now, they'll enjoy them no matter what the age. How old will you be when you stop enjoying these? We read two stories last night at the request of Grandpa, okay? At the end of the presentation, the faithful literature evangelist asked if Jimmy's parents would like to have Bible studies. And he decided that this was one that he was going to do personally. And he took them through a series of lessons. And at the end, Jimmy, his mom, and his dad were all baptized. Today, Jimmy is in charge of distribution of the Bible stories in a large area in the United States. The seed was planted, and it germinated. and it grew, and its harvest is still coming all through eternity. Ron had a problem. He was bipolar. He was on heart medications, high cholesterol, can't remember all of them, 14 medications in total. And he was finding that he wasn't very effective in life. And he purchased a set of the Encyclopedia of Foods. Everything you need to know about food. And he applied the principles of the Encyclopedia of Foods to his life. Today, Ron is down to 2 medications. He's no longer bipolar or depressed or high in cholesterol. His heart, he's working on getting rid of the last 2 medications. When he told me this story, he said, "I am saving $1,200 a year in medications and copays." He had good insurance, and he's still saving $1,200. Now, we don't have a health message so that we can live 10 years longer than everybody else. But that's not the reason for it. The reason for our health message is so that people can hear God speak to them more clearly. A friend of mine is fighting cancer. 4-stage. Found himself in a hospital for several days. And while there, to keep his spirits, he read his Desire of Ages. And the staff noticed that it made a difference. So before he left, he asked the staff, "Can I donate a Desire of Ages to the cancer ward at this hospital?" And they said yes. So he purchased the Desire of Ages. If you haven't read this in the last 6 months, it's time to start again. It is the best book ever written on the life of Jesus. It's my personal testimony and the personal testimony of thousands of others. But not everyone gets to be a literature evangelist. Not everyone gets to be a literature evangelist, but the promise is to the literature evangelist, the promise is, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Psalm 126, verse 5. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Nathan and Mary were Methodists. Nathan was a Methodist lay minister. He was very prejudiced against Seventh-day Adventists. This happened many years ago. The principle is the same. Someone was sending Nathan and Mary a missionary journal. Mary faithfully used her missionary journal, rolled it up, soaked in a little kerosene, and lit the fire. Then one day, she said to herself, "Someone is sacrificing to send us this magazine. And what would I say if they should ask if we're getting it, if we're receiving it?" So she decided she would read one page, just one page, before she lit the fire. So she opened and began to read. The first page that she opened was an article on the Sabbath. right there in front of the stove, Mary made the decision to keep the Sabbath. She finished the article, by the way. But how can she tell Nathan? So Friday came. She faithfully did her preparations, quietly did her preparations, the cleaning and the cooking, and quietly she kept the Sabbath. For 3 weeks, she did the same. Sometime in that, near the end of that 3 weeks, Nathan found a piece of magazine in the yard with some verses on it. It caught his eye, and he picked it up, and he took it into his study and looked up all of the verses on that piece of paper. And there on his study floor, he knelt and gave his heart, his decision to the Lord to keep the Sabbath. But how is he going to tell Mary? So he mustered up everything he had, all his courage, and he went out and he took Mary in his arms and he said, "Mary, I have something very, very important to tell you." And you know how mom's minds rush, you know. Is he got some terminal disease? Is our marriage falling apart? What? And he said, "No, I don't want you to laugh." And then he told her that he had decided from studying his Bible that he was going to keep the Sabbath. And Mary, of course, broke out laughing. And that hurt him. And she said, "But Nathan, I'm not laughing at you. Haven't you noticed in the last 3 weeks things have been different? Because I have been preparing on Friday for Sabbath, and I've been keeping the Sabbath." Missionary journals still work. And I can think of three ways you can use your missionary journal. Number one, you can send subscriptions to all your friends and loved ones. Okay? Number two, you can get a multiple subscription to come into your house. And then you can hand them out during the month. They'll come every month and you can hand them out. Number three, you could pick a territory in Midland and make new friends every month by taking Signs of the Times. And number four, you could get a science box. There is a church not too far from here that puts 100 signs of times in their box every month. Every month, 100 of them go out. Wow. Missionary journals. Okay, since it's show and tell, let's show and tell. The clerk in the store didn't look like there was anything wrong, anything depressing or anything like that. But the person going through the line decided they needed to give them a glow track. I was proud of Midland. They had two glow racks. One on the door over there, one on the table over here. Either way you go, you're going to see the glow racks. Those glow racks should be emptied, right? This person hands this one, "Where's God when I'm hurting?" And the clerk's countenance changed. She said, "How did you know?" "That's just what I need." How did you know? I love this next one. This guy is afraid to share glow. He's in the line in the store. So all he does is hold up the glow and starts, and he's reading. And the person in front of him in the line sees, and so, "Well, what's he looking at?" So they said, "Can I have that?" He said, "When I finish reading, you can have it." There are hundreds of ways to hand out glow. You should have a designated pocket. You should get a wallet. Huh? That's going to be cool, because when you open to pay, and then you go, "Oh yeah, where's that glow track?" "Well, it's in my designated pocket, but my designated pocket's in the car. So now I have to go out to the car and come back in." Okay? Bible study offer. Just hand them a Bible study offer. Glow. There is Glow. This is a small sample of what God's Word looks like. And I hope you have figured out how to have beautiful feet. If you pass out Glow tracks, you have beautiful feet. Right? Or signs of the times. The other day, my dad met the UPS driver bringing a package. And he met him with a great controversy. The Glow great controversy. Okay? He said, "Do you have this?" And the man said, "Yes, you already gave it to me." And my dad said, "Well, if I give this to you, will you pass it on to somebody else?" And the UPS driver said, well, sure, I'd be happy to. Because he's his friend, right? So now when you get to heaven, the guy is going to come, somebody's going to come to you and say, "You remember that UPS driver?" "No. I'm the guy that he gave it to. It's our of ages to match." Beautiful. Use our tools. This is what God's Word looks like. You have a card in your hand. We're only going to take a minute. I hope you already know how to write your name at the bottom. We're not going to go there. At the top it says, "I will pray for the literature evangelists." Please pray for the literature evangelists. They're out on the literature evangelist knocks on more non-Adventist doors in a month than your pastor will knock on in a year. Easy. And maybe the whole district pastors. And it's not that they're not doing their job. It's just that the literature evangelist is on the front line sowing seeds. I will pray for the literature evangelist. Not everybody can be a literature evangelist, but you can support them. Number two box says, "I would like to give to help literature evangelists." They're not conference employees. They're on their own. It's tough going for the literature evangelist. So we're trying to give them a little bit of help, and you can have a part in that. The third box says, "I would like to have more information about being a literature evangelist." Check that box. And at the end of the service, we'll let you hand those to us at the door. Our closing song is entitled, I didn't write the title down. Bringing in the Sheaves. Thank you. But I want you to note the line. The first line says, "Sowing in the morning, in the noontide, in the dewy eve." Verse 2, "Sowing in the sunshine, in the shadows, in the clouds, and winter breeze. Pardon me. It's sowing that we have to do before we can bring in the sheaves. And this is our prayer before we sing. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. "Now may he," that is God, "who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply your seed," the seed you have sown, sorry, "and increase the fruit of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything through us to God."
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.